Oh my god, I love this song though. It's such a cool song. I'm a big Talking Heads fan. I don't think Bob is, but I am. Do you like the Talking Heads?
I love the Talking Heads.
Yeah, me too. You know what?
Love them.
I became a huge fan when I discovered their live CD, Stop Making Sense. Have you heard that? Like the whole CD?
Of course.
Oh my god.
Yes.
It became like a religious thing for me. I love them. Anyway, okay, so
Okay, well let me just one second.
Yeah.
Letting the days go by.
Yes.
I mean, that was big my senior year in high school. Do the math, people. And he had the big suit on.
Yes.
And he was, oh, and remember, Psycho Killer.
Yes,
Kaskase. I didn't know exactly how many. Oh my god. Anyway.
I just love the Talking Heads. And then they do
Oh god, me too.
Take Me to the River or whatever that song.
Oh,
love that
the
one.
Best.
So good. I love them. Okay.
Remember Stay Up Late with the Little Baby?
Yes, and I always
little
loved
pee-pee.
That song.
I know.
But it's really specifically the Stop Making Sense live album, which I think is so great. I used to
when and
I
accompanying video.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
The dancers. Holy shit.
So cool. Just love, love, love. But let's talk about orgasms. I'm gonna talk about some orgasms. So
please.
Anyway. This is what happens with the O shot. You go to the doctor after you've been cleared with a happy pap smear and everything's good. And mm-hmm. what they do is they draw your blood and then they put it in the spinning thing. And then it divides the platelets out. So they take the platelets and they shoot them into your vagina. They shoot them in literally into your clitoris and your vagina. So they do a
Jesus.
Numbing. Yeah. There's a video online.
I'm already out.
Well, but listen,
out.
listen. Supposedly, it doesn't really even hurt because they numb you. There's a video of, like, you can see the whole thing. I think it's on YouTube, and, like, it's not blurred out or anything. You can literally see the needle going in, and it's like, ah! But the person who's getting the shot doesn't even really, I think I've seen a couple of different videos where women get the shot. Only one of them showed everything, but the rest just showed the women's reactions while it was happening. And so they were asked, can you feel this? And they would say no. But what they would feel for a brief period of time, maybe 45 minutes after the shot, is like the urge to go to the bathroom. Like there's this pressure that you have to go to the
please,
bathroom.
Oh, please, of course. But I'm already practically peeing my pants just talking about it.
Well, you know, it doesn't last. It just lasts for a brief period of time, and then it wears off. And
okay.
then the result, the medical result that I was talking about, a lot of women, which I don't have this problem, especially because I'm not a mom, some moms have this problem, is incontinence. It's, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So this cures it. And every woman that I've at least, you know, read their experience or watched the YouTube videos after they've had this done, I mean, literally from the moment this procedure, takes place, it's done. No more. They go to the bathroom less, and they don't have problems with incontinence.
Interesting.
So the thing is this shot is great for women in menopause if you're experiencing, you know, vaginal dryness or having, you know, painful sex. But on top of it, young women are getting this procedure done because it enhances your orgasms. And, you know, I'm just hearing that people are saying that they, whether they're 67 years old or 25 years old, that the orgasms are just incredible. And, you know, I mean, the benefit is that women who get older, women who are going through menopause experience the vaginal dryness, which this helps with.
Sometimes,
but a lot of them do. And also thinning vaginal walls. And there was a woman who was like literally in her 60s who said, you know, I had all these problems. It hurt. I would get UTIs and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's the skin down there was thinner. This thickens it back up. So I'm going to assume, because I haven't really read too much about the UTI situation, but I would assume that if your skin is thicker down there, you would get less UTIs if that's something that you're experiencing. So, I figure, what the hell, you know, I mean, I'm a menopausal woman, and even though I'm doing pretty good right now, who doesn't want better orgasms? It's not a cheap procedure. It's $1,500.
Nah.
And,
nah. No, I'm just kidding.
And it's, but you never know, put it in your, you know, you never know what's going to come up because your body changes. So what,
right.
you know, what you can handle right now, you might not be able to hand to you in a year or 5 years or 10 years. So knowing that it's there and knowing that it's an option, I think is pretty cool. And, you know, I mean, unfortunately, I've always had issues with UTIs, getting older, which I'm going to be 50 this year. You know, it's just gotten worse as I've gotten older. And so uh-huh. if there's a way that I can improve that situation, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, because that's so awful. That's yeah. just no one needs to deal with that.
No.
Well, I have a feeling you're going to get it. And I want to know all about it.
Well, you know, I'll when be you talking do. About it.
I know you will. Oh, my goodness. How exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I jump... Of, yeah. I mean, I jump rope a lot at the gym. Mm-hmm. And I have to, like, batten down the hatches before yeah. I even think about it. Or I will pee.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. That's well, that's the joy of having two kids.
Yeah, exactly. My grandmother had a problem with that. And I wish she would have known about this shot. I wish I would have known about that. I would have told her. But, yeah, she always had a problem with it. And... You know, again, it's not something I experience. I don't have kids, so I don't have that situation. But still, I think it's a great thing because, you know, yeah. oftentimes women's issues are ignored in the medical
Please,
community.
Of course
so,
they are.
You know, this is something that's great. You know, men get their little
their
blue
boner
pills.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I want my boner pill. Of course, it means that they have to stick a freaking needle in my clitoris. But I figure, you know what? They numb you. You don't feel it. It's not the prick of the needle that you feel. It's just the pressure, I think, of the platelets that go. And then again, it's like it's different for every woman as far as how like some women experience. You can have sex that night. Some women
wow.
have experienced like, you know, all the positive effects from the shot immediately. In some women, it takes a couple of weeks. In some women, it might take a couple of months. And I think depending on how your body deals with it, I think that some women just need one shot and they're good. Other women might mm-hmm. need to do it once a year, obviously, if you can afford it. But if it's something that you can afford and it's something that you're interested in, I'd say go look into it. You know, do some research and study it. I mean, I've decided that I want it, and I found a doctor close to where we're moving that I'm going to go talk to, and I'm going to do more research. I'm not just jumping in, but I want to do some more research because I don't think that it's been FDA approved yet. But when I hear that, I think, well, there's a lot of medications out there that are FDA approved and they're horrible. So, you know, this is your own blood. They do nothing else but your own blood. So I'm not that concerned.
Okay.
So we'll
All right.
see. We'll see.
Keep me posted.
So, and then I just wanted to say one other thing. I'll let you say whatever you want, but I just wanted to report that I'm so happy because my cat's neurotic and I've been dreading the move mainly because of her. And I was dreading taking her to the vet because I haven't taken her to the vet in a long time. The last time I took her, she was peeing and, so they wanted to do a test and make sure that she didn't have like a UTI or something like that. And she was so freaked out and spazzing out that they had to put her literally in like the gas chamber. I'd never seen anything like it, but it was this box that was filled up with whatever drug to knock her out. So they had to like, cause they could not get give her a shot. She's way mm-hmm. too much of a problem kid for that. So I heard that, you know, they took her in the other room to give her the shot. And I guess when she came to, she panicked and ran and hit her head. And it's like, oh, I mean, she's 14 years old now. And, you know, I've been so worried. So anyway, I called my vet and I asked her, okay, I want her calm for this shot. So she suggested CBD oil, which is from hemp, mixed with, it was a 1-to-1 ratio of CBD oil or CBD and, THC, so literally like getting mm-hmm. her high, and CBD relaxes you, and the pot part gets her high. So I finally
then she wanted a snack.
Yes, she did. I finally figured out how much to give her, and you know I've been playing around with it, and starting with very very low doses, and eventually I got her up to a particular amount that I gave her just a little bit over, and she threw up. So I thought, okay, this is too much. Aww. So I gave her that amount, you know, just like it was 25 milliliters or whatever it is. And then I wait about an hour and then I give her a little bit more. And that seems to do the trick. She doesn't throw up. She doesn't act wobbly or weird. She just sleeps. So I took her to the vet and it was like she didn't hiss. She was a dream. She just was real calm. And I mean, she seemed a little like nervous, you know, like what's going on, what's going on. But she didn't like normally. I mean, like I said, she freaking panicked the last time I took her. They had her marked as a problem cat. And this time she was just really easygoing. And it gave me a sense of like, OK, I feel better because I know that when, you know, we take her to the airport, it's going to be stressful. And we're taking her on the plane up in the cabin with us. But I know that at least for however long she's going to be stoned, she won't be stoned for the whole trip. And I can't take the THC with me. I'm just going to have to, you know, throw the rest away because it's obviously an illegal substance outside of California. But, you know, I mean, at least I know that she'll be calm going in. So I feel much better.
Yeah. And hopefully she wakes up and she's there and she's like, all right, this is cool. There's my mom. I can smell her and I know it's all good. Yeah. We have a cat. I've never been a cat owner before, and I kind of didn't like cats. I think maybe I was afraid they were going to scratch me or something, so I never wanted a cat. Well, we got one. His name is 11, and he's amazing, and I've taken him to the vet twice, and I just bring him loose in my arms wrapped in a little towel. Yeah.
That's impressive.
I know. He's pretty good. And he loves the dogs. We got a puppy.
Oh, my God, I know. And what's your puppy's name?
Oscar.
So cute he is.
He's so cute. He's so delicious. And he's so good. And our 12-year-old Labrador is starting to warm up to him a little bit. And I saw him sniffing the cat's butthole the other day. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's all just falling into place so perfectly. My animals are all happy together.
That's good. Yeah.
I know. They just, you know, I don't know what I'd do without my animals.
I know.
Well, my kids too. Yeah.
The thing that I always like worry about though, when, you know, Miranda's 14 on March 1st and she can't stay. Like for instance, I used to take her over to my mother's house if I was going to go on a trip or something like that. But my mom has three cats. And even though Miranda lived with those cats for a while, you know, it's too much for her and she winds up peeing. And she gets upset and she winds up peeing. And I don't want her peeing at anybody's house. You know, I don't want her peeing at my mom's house. And I don't know exactly what's going to happen because Bob and I will be taking some vacations. And I guess I'm just going to tell my mother to get over it and watch the damn cat.
But it's like,
you know, I mean, I don't want my father taking care of it because my mother understands how weird I am about pets. And she's
Ken Johnson.
Ken Johnson. But she knows that I don't ever let my cats out. And I would be too worried that my father wouldn't be as like, he doesn't know how I am.
Ms. Werner's got to do that.
She understands. She knows how I'm like, freaked out about my animals. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a cat. He's an 18-year-old cat.
Egads.
But, you know, I mean, so my dad's he's an animal lover and everything, but he just doesn't know how anal I am about my pets. And so, you know,
it's mom.
That's what's gonna do.
Our poor parents, you know? I know. When are they ever off the hook? When they're gone?
I know.
Like when I'm 70, you know? Like when is that? Mommy!
do this for me, please. You know, my mom's already set a time for me to take her to get her, she's gonna have her eyes worked on, like her cataracts removed or whatever. So she's already set up the appointment for that. And it's like on March 13th, and I'm like, Mom, I don't know. You know, I mean, both my parents were in my ear about Bob and I have to be there together when our furniture arrives. We have to count the boxes and we have to do. So my mom's like, I've arranged an appointment on the 13th. I'm like, well, what if that's the day my stuff comes? Couldn't you have done it at the end of March? Like we're expecting our furniture. So when I talk to the moving company, she's like, well, your stuff is expected to arrive between March 7th and March 13th. And I'm like, okay. Oh, my mom's like, oh, don't worry. So I was like,
right,
whatever.
Right.
But we'll know closer. We'll know on moving day. I think we'll have a good idea of how long it'll take them because it'll depend on if, you know, if we're the last shipment to go in the truck or the first? Because if we're the first, we have to wait until the truck gets filled. So anyway, moving cross country is so much fun.
I know it really is.
It's just so horrible.
Especially, well, I'm not even going to say this.
Horrible,
but yeah.
horrible.
I know.
But I'm going to be in a book fair.
You'll be there soon.
Yeah, my mom, we're going to be there exactly in a week. We're leaving next Tuesday. I can't even believe it. But my mom is signing us up for the Gaithersburg Book Fair. So we're going to do that. So that's exciting.
That is exciting.
And I think I might have come up with a new book idea. And I'm just kind of playing around with it. And it's not going to be fiction if I do it, because I love fiction and I want to write a fiction book. But, you know, Bob and I were kind of talking and I had some ideas and, you know, he was saying some things and I had come up with my own. But long story short, it would be the idea that, you know, maybe I can write about my experience as a Gen Xer dating and how my body image and being an actress and all of that played into my experiences with men and certain issues I have with trust. And so I have to really think about this, but I think aside from just entertaining stories of my experiences with men, whether I dated them, like for instance, I'll share one real quick one. When I was like 30 something, 32, 33. I was on Yahoo.com, YahooPersonals.com. And I saw this guy and I thought he looked cute. He looked kind of like my ex-boyfriend who I was obsessing over. And he was French. So we met in Santa Monica and he was really sweet, but I didn't like him. I just, you know, there was no chemistry there. He was a really nice guy, but I was like, no, I don't like him. So I didn't know how to get out of it. I didn't know how to basically, you know, tell him I wasn't interested. So I lied to him and told him I don't even know why I did this.
You faked your own death.
But well, practically, I told him I was pregnant with my ex-boyfriend's kid. Because I thought, that'll make him go away. And instead, he was like extra sweet about it and saying that I'll be there for you as a friend. And it was like, oh my God. And I was telling my girlfriends I did this and they're like, you're fucking crazy.
Then did you pretend you miscarried or then did you really fake your own
death? I can't even remember. I think I told him that it was a false alarm or something, but poor guy. I mean, I just had crazy experiences. Some of the experiences I had were, you know, guys acting like assholes. But you know, I also had experiences where I probably was like this one was the asshole, and you know, just different things about. I used to think that the fact that I had acne, that no one would ever love me. And, you know, so things like that. I mean, I can talk about them. And then the big takeaway would be not that I would offer anybody any advice, but just here's my experiences and you can take my insight and apply them to any experience that you might identify with. You know what I mean? Like Bob and I like to watch Vanderpump Rules and the young girls on, he's laughing. Girls on that show right now, when I say young, they're in their 30s. They're such fucking doormats. And I'm always screaming, there's fucking asshole boyfriends who are treating them like shit, and they're just doormats. And I scream and scream and scream at them, but it's like I did the same thing. You know, I was a doormat. And so I don't expect that if I wrote some book that I'm going to, like, change everybody and make them all see the light, because I didn't see the light, even when I knew better. You're young and you just do things. And even when you're not young, women our age are still sometimes doormats. So it's like, well, I would just hope that maybe if I share some of my personal experiences and then say, okay, look, I was wrong. I was stupid to think that acne meant that someone wasn't going to love me. Or if I was fatter than I wanted to be, which I was never fat, but if I was fatter than I wanted to be, that I was never going to be loved. And I would literally think these things. I mean, there was one guy that I was dating for a while that was he's like wealthy. I wouldn't say he was like uber wealthy, but he was comfortably wealthy. I used to think that if I had at the time more money, he would have taken me more seriously, which was bullshit. And so, you know, I would beat myself up a lot. I would blame myself for things that I shouldn't have ever blamed myself for. And I believe it might have kept me from having more positive experiences. So I think if I write things like, I'm like starting to want to write this. So that's a big sign. Yeah. It's like when I want to write it, that means I should write it. So I think, and I think, and since there's only a few subscribers to this show, I will share that somewhere in the title, I want it to say spinster old maid, because that's what I used to call myself jokingly. Like I call myself a slut now. Mm-hmm. Just because Rush Limbaugh thinks I'm a slut or whatever. So, you know, it's like I thought the idea of women who didn't have husbands or boyfriends would be called spinsters was so fucking ridiculous and funny. So that's what I would call myself. Spinster old maid.
Spinster old maid with zits.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you.
You know, like all of our... I think, well, maybe you could even get... You know, you can... You would never have read this, but there was this book called The Girlfriend's Guide to Pregnancy.
No.
That was written by Vicky Iovine, and she had four or five kids with Jimmy Iovine, and it is, like, laugh-out-loud funny for anybody who's expecting their first baby. And she would bring in conversations she had with her girlfriends about the topic, uh-huh, or, you know, about pregnancy and whatever she happened to be dealing with. And, you know, she changed their names, I'm sure, in every instance, yeah, or maybe not, who knows. But I always like that because then it draws you in, mm-hmm, when there's a conversation being had or you're like, and I was talking to my friend Jane and she said blah 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 about her experience around this topic, or mm-hmm, I don't know, I mean I just love because it's an account, you know, yeah, it's like this happened and this, you said you are going to make it a fiction book or are
no,
you going to
non-fiction, it'll be non-fiction,
okay, yeah, good, yeah, what a cool topic.
I
mean,
at first I came up with the idea and I thought, well, I don't know, because I don't want to upset any guy that I used to go out with, but of course I'm going to change names,
yes, of course,
and I won't change what happened, but I will
change
their
name,
identities or what they did for a living or whatever. But so, you know, people who know me might know who I'm talking about, but they already know anyway, because I told them.
Right.
So,
of course.
You know, but I feel like I just, one of the things that I'm not an expert on anything. You know, I didn't get some degree in psychology or, you know, marriage counseling or anything like that. So it's, I also never liked the books. Like for instance, when I was younger, the book, do you remember that? The Rules came out.
Ah!
And I hated that fucking book. And I thought it was stupid. And I still think it's stupid. And I don't like
it's
any
so
book.
Stupid.
I know they're very popular. People love books that say, I have the answer for you. Here's a one size fits, yeah, here's a one size fits all answer for you. I don't believe in that. I've never read them, and I do know they're very popular, and a lot of people like them. I don't. I like, you know, I mean, when my mom and I did the Virgin Diaries, and we collected stories from men and women, and they described their first time sexual experiences, and what I wanted from that book again was I didn't want charts and graphs. I didn't want to, you know, put my opinion all over it. I just wanted people to share their story, because if you're a virgin, you're curious. You're like, what the hell is it like? I hear my friends, I see it in movies, but there is a certain aspect of sex that just you're so curious about because you don't know, you haven't done it. So I thought, well, I'm not going to tell them what to do or how to feel about it, but I want them to read other people's experiences, and then, you know, they might get a broader understanding. Of course, you can never understand something until you do it yourself fully, until you do it yourself. But I liked the idea that we weren't preaching to them. It was like, do it or don't do it, but here's what everybody else is saying it was like for them. Some people had great experiences. Some people had horrible experiences, you know, and it was kind of down the line. Men loved it. Women were like, huh? Because the first time usually sucks for women. But of course, there were a few occasions where there was one guy who wrote, I did it, and I thought, is that it? And I was surprised, yeah, because, you know, and then there were women that wrote it and were like, I loved it. You know, and I couldn't wait to do it again. I mean, I think I interviewed a woman who was like 70-something who said, I loved it and I couldn't wait to do it again. So, you know, I mean, everybody has their own personal experience. And I remember my girlfriend told me that it was really awesome. And it was like, no, it isn't. It's horrible. It was horrible for me. It was painful. But I didn't regret it and I didn't have a terrible time. I just, you know, it was just the first time is kind of awkward. You don't know what you're doing. And it's like, you're kind of afraid. And it's like, for women specifically, it can hurt. It doesn't hurt every woman, but it hurt me. It was really painful. So, and you know, and when we were writing that book, compiling that book, my mom made a comment like people back in the day would, you know, sit around campfires and share their stories, you know, of instead of, you know, watching Oprah, we would learn by sharing stories with each other. So I kind of feel like that would be my goal. Like, I'm going to share my stories and you can take from this what you want. I'm not going to tell you how to feel, except to say that, you know, we should all not be so hard on ourselves, because I'm somebody that's very hard on myself. I still am. And I try, my body image is something that I feel like I'm always going to struggle with. But I think I've gotten better. Sometimes.
Well, it's a work in progress.
Very much a work in progress. Oh, well.
When's that going to end? God dang it. Anyway.
Oh, well, someday. I guess this is it. I guess this is the last show, and I don't know. Well, not the last show ever, but obviously the last show in California. But you know what? I don't know exactly what day we're going to come back in March.
Last show ever.
Of course not. But
let me know.
I will let you know. It'll be sometime in March. Bob's got to get his computer.
That works.
Shipping it, and we don't know what's, you know, we don't know when it's going to arrive yet. So we will be in touch. But anyway. Bye, everybody.
Bye, honey. I'll see you on the other side.